Grab your Bibles, open them up to Exodus, the 20th chapter. Exodus chapter 20 is this passage that scares some, excites others. It's Moses when he came down off of the mountain. If you saw Charlton Heston years ago, you remember the big tablets of stone that God had written them. And they started with all these things, thou shalt not, do not. And I literally grew up my whole life kind of scared. The Ten Commandments were always this ominous, serious, heavy, this is what it means to be a Christian. We don't do a lot of things. And I realize now, we would have been happy if we just had 10. Because we had 10 times 10 times 10. We had all kinds of rules. And I grew up in a kind of a Christianity that was really about rules, kind of like the Pharisees now, where it was, well, if you're going to be a good Christian, you don't go to the movies. People are always shocked when I tell them, I went to my first movie theater 6 years ago now. It was when they were showing like Jurassic Park 2. That was the first movie I ever saw. Because I grew up in a house in a religion where you didn't go to movies. And I'm not really sure why, but we even didn't call it the theater. We called it the movie house. We don't go to the movie house. I mean, that's some legacy left over from, I don't know, like way, 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 way long ago. And but I really came from a place that was all these rules. And I wouldn't have admitted it because I came into church and I worshiped God, oh, you holy, wonderful God. But the truth was, he was kind of a mean God to me. Because that's kind of how I perceived him, was he just had all these things that he was so ticked off about all the time if you couldn't do. And if I didn't pray enough in the morning, I felt that God was upset with me. And if I hadn't fasted last month for a couple days and given up meals, I felt God was disappointed in me. And just all these things. And so because I've come and now I see a different God. I see a God who is just full of love, who's so much more compassionate and graceful than we will ever even understand. I get very cautious when I come and I want to talk about what we might call the law of God or truth. Because I think some of us have been burned out by having preachers say, thou shalt not, and you better not, and the Bible says, and it was always this kind of thing. So I want to look at Exodus 20, we will over the next couple months, and it is the Ten Commandments, but notice that it never says in the Bible that these are the Ten Commandments. We call them that. It does not say, here are the Ten Commandments, everybody just grin it and bear it. It says, really, God begins this by saying, hey, you guys, you know who I am? I'm the God that loves you so much. They're like, who? I'm the God that brought you out of Egypt. That's how Exodus 20 begins. I'm the God that did those miracles for you and parted the waters. I'm the God that kept you safe when those people were chasing after you. I'm the God that has always been on your side when no one else was. I want to be in relationship with you. Here's what's the best for you. If you trust me, and I'm handling you pretty well, then here's how you should live in such a way that it's going to work out best for you. That's what it is. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we looked at it. He said, I'm giving you these statutes, these commandments, for your good. Not for God's good. God could just, RC's ticking me off. Bling, I'm gone. Space dust. And you could put someone else there. It's not for us. God has seen all the tragedy he's going to see, and he's going to see. You know, he's looking down and saying, but you know what? Malia, I've seen a lot of human beings come and go, and I've seen a lot of them in similar situations of your life. I have some wisdom. Here's some principles that if you live by, I think will bring you to a good place. And the older I've gotten, as much as I don't like thou shalt, I realize that he kind of knew what he was talking about. Because when I look at these principles and I look at people that have followed them, I like their lives. And I look at other people that have spurned principles that the Bible gives. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love them any less. But I see a lot of times in my own life and the lives of others, a lot of garbage and a lot of mess and a lot of trial and a lot of heartache because we didn't do probably the wise thing. So I want us to remember that as we look at these commandments, these challenges. God is saying, Mark, they're for your good. Janet, they're for your good. Sandy, RC, they are for the best life you can live. And I think if we have that mindset, maybe they're a little easier to digest. Exodus 20. The first one was, don't have any other gods before me. God wants to be the center of your universe. Not because he's egotistical and, you know, some megalomaniac, but because that's a good way to live with a transcendent life understanding rather than what? That you're the most important thing in the universe? Okay, you may not get tired of that, but we're going to get real tired of it. Or what other? That money is the best thing in your universe? Well, that's going to come and go, and that's going to be frustrating. No, God says, let's start with this. Let me be the most important thing to you. Everything, decision you make, let it kind of filter through a God mentality. Secondly, he said, when you worship me, understand that I don't want to be worshipped through a bunch of rituals and ceremonies. Don't make idols. Don't carve images. Don't put up holy things and think you can't ever touch the cross because it's the cross of Jesus. He says, no, worship me in spirit and truth, Jesus will say. Honor me with the way you live, with your heart, not through showing, you know, giving obeisance to a statue or to an altar. Don't give obeisance to some piece of wood or straw or to someone dressed in clerical garb. God says it's not about things. It's about a relationship. Then the third challenge was this. He said, don't take my name in vain. And we looked at that last week. It means don't call on my name, but empty it of its power. Don't say I'm a follower of Christ, but your coworkers think you're the devil incarnate. Don't say, oh yeah, I love Jesus, I'm a Christian, but drive on the freeway like you're a demon out of hell, you know? He's saying, those are silly examples, but he's saying, live your life in a way that's integrous so that the name of Jesus, the name of God, reflects in your character. Now we get to this one that we've all heard. Exodus chapter 20, I'm not there yet. But we look down, and it says the fourth challenge is in verse 8. Let's all read it together. We'll read from verse 8 let's read the whole thing through 12, through 11. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns? For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Have you ever received at Christmas or your birthday a gift certificate? I like them because, you know, sometimes people buy you gifts that you really didn't want. And we all have some of those hidden in the closet, don't we? Or on, out in the garage somewhere, something. I tell my students, they're like, it's Christmas time. What do we, you know, I say, if you're going to give me, just give me a card, a Starbucks card, a Barnes & Noble card, something, because I don't really want another ceramic figurine of a teacher holding an apple. But gift certificates are nice. And I don't know if you could have, I often like to ask people at a dinner, if you could have $1,000 shopping spree on a gift certificate to any store, what would it be? And I hear everything from Costco to Home Depot to Macy's and on and on. But imagine you were to get a gift certificate today that was to say you get one day off of all responsibility. Here is a gift certificate, a payday. Take it off. It's to be a day of enjoyment. It's to be a day of no cares, no work, no stress, no anxiety. A day to just enjoy being alive. If they would really pass those out, I think most of us would be like, please, if you have any extras, I'll take more than one. And really, this is what this is, if we would just take it serious from God. The fourth commandment is this commandment that says, hey, you guys are going to be busy out here in the wilderness. This is not going to be easy life for you. There are not cities out here, and there's not a 7-Eleven on the corner. And there are no crops even growing right now. And if you notice, there's not a lot of rivers running through here. This is going to be hard. And you're going to have hard life out here in the wilderness for the next 40 years. You are going to wander, and it's going to be hot in the summer, and it's going to be cold at night, and you're going to be breaking camp and setting it back up. But amidst all that you have to do, I want this Sabbath, the seventh day, to just be a day of rest. Now, before we look at maybe what that means to our lives, I want to look at some of the, I think, the wrong ideas or maybe improper. First, the way this was used in a lot of churches was to say that you got to go to church on Sunday. And this is what they said. Well, you have to go to church. You got to honor the Sabbath. So, of course, you have to go to church. And to this day, even though I don't think I have to go to church every week, I still will admit that I just feel guilty if I'm not in church on Sunday. I do. I could be on vacation. I got to go. I got to go somewhere. I just have been all my life in church. But when we were young, the Sunday school teachers honored the Sabbath and keep it holy. And so that's the day you go to church. We're going to look at that in a moment. I'm not against you going to church because you're honoring the Sabbath. But I want to note one thing. If you read that with me, it didn't say anything about church. It didn't say anything about even coming together and convening in any spiritual assembly. It didn't. There was nothing in that commandment at this point when they were hearing it for the first time that was about going to synagogue or going to church or going together to have a worship celebration for God. That was not in the original intent of this commandment. It was a spiritual commandment to honor God. But how were they honoring Him? They were honoring because God, in the stories, the Jewish stories of creation, worked for 6 days, creating the earth, and then on the seventh rested. And so made in His image, Moses said, all right, so we will work 6 days, and then the seventh, you need to honor God by just resting. First of all, being that it was so long ago, I really commend Moses for having the foresight and hearing the inspiration of God to write this down. I also like to take people who are literalists and say, I said you got to keep the Sabbath. I also like to say, well, notice it also says 6 days shall you work. And that's a whole other sermon. People want the Sabbath, but wait a minute, what about your 6 day work week? What about that sermon that can preach in there about how we need to be hard working people those other 6 days? But that's another sermon. But he did say, but on this one day, I want it to be a day where you honor God by resting, by stopping from all that's going on in your frenetic lives. And I think being refreshed. Then we came up with a second erroneous idea, and that was that you can't do work on the Sabbath. You say, wait a minute, that's not erroneous, the Bible said that. You can't do work, I didn't read that. You or your slaves or anybody else couldn't do work. Well, understand, I don't think I have to dwell on it too much at our church. Some other churches may have a hard time understanding this, but when we look back at this, first of all, it's a whole different covenant. God is dealing with a national group called Israel, and there are things that's going to work out for them. But when he said, don't do work, I don't think he meant, don't raise a sweat, don't get off of your bed, because you're using muscle groups, don't take the dishes from the table to the sink, because that's work. I mean, we could just get silly, and some groups have. In Jesus' day, the Pharisees had made these huge rules about how you can't do work on the Sabbath because it's work. And I told you, they even did one where they came up with a rule that said, well, let's decide, and I forget how long it was, but let's say it's 300 lengths. They said you can't go any further than that from your home because that would be working on the Sabbath. So what they would do is the day before Sabbath, they would go that distance and then they would leave a coat from their house there. And they'd walk another length of that distance and they'd leave a pot or something from the house. So that on the Sabbath that they needed to get to Aunt Bessie's and it was farther than that, they got around it because they could walk. That was part of their home because the tradition taught wherever your things are is your home. So they could walk there, pick up their coat, walk to the pot, and eventually get over to just silliness. Religion always kind of leads us down those silly roads. But the idea was not that you can't do that. I'm not disparaging a religious group that still says, we don't do anything, we don't play. That's your responsibility. But that's not the heart of what's going on here. For some of us growing up in those kind of homes, it wasn't necessarily a restful day for us not being allowed to do anything. Usually it was a very stressful day and grandma was mad if we were caught roughhousing because it was the Sabbath. We were getting in trouble and we're getting on restriction and we're getting spanked and not a very nice day because we're going to honor God in the Sabbath. What does it mean? Let me give you a couple quotes that I enjoyed. There was I think 19th century, actually Jewish rabbinical writer who said, the Shabbat or the Sabbath means this. It means to just cease from activity that's in progress and take a rest. Meaning, what's going on in your life? Work, responsibility, paying bills, things around the house that got to get fixed. Those are just activities that are in progress in our lives. And this scholar looking at the Hebrew said, the idea of the Sabbath is put it on pause. Just take a rest from it. Another common interpretation through the centuries has been this, that the Sabbath means to put everything back in its proper place. I'll say that again because I like this one. The idea of the Shabbat, the Sabbath, is to put everything back in its proper place. Remember the first three commandments that just came? God saying, I want to be the center of your world. I want you to worship me not with things, but in a relationship. I want you to live in such a way that my name is precious to you. And now, you're going to work 6 days of the week. And guess what? By 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, Sunday is going to be so far gone in your memory. It's going to be about all the things you're facing this week and deadlines and sales projected, you know, things you've got to handle. And he's saying, wait a minute, on one day a week, we need to refocus. We need to center our lives again. We need to put all that stuff on pause, all the materialism and all the angst and the relationship worries and things with our education. And we need to just refocus. Get God back in the center. I don't know about you, but if we don't really make that an effort in our lives, it's easy to love God but realize we're not very God-focused. We get so busy and there's so much going on in our careers and our homes and raising kids and developing relationships and even being busy at church that if we don't really make it a priority, we can suddenly, I've talked to so many people in church and I'll hear things like this. I just don't really, you know, feel the excitement I used to feel. I don't feel close to God. I don't feel, you know what usually that is? We just haven't been taking Shabbats. We begin to think that God is concerned about doing for Him rather than being for Him. We think that God wants you running around achieving and accomplishing and collecting and showing rather than just being. And the idea of this commandment was they had to do it on the Sabbath, on the seventh day. Well, stop! Put your life on pause. You can return the calls tomorrow. You can check the emails tomorrow. You can go shopping next week. But today, let's dwell and get back in focus. Let's live be a day where it's not about things, it's not about money, it's not about American society, it's not about politics, but it's a day to recenter what are really the deep, true values of our life. God, family, friends, the people that we hold dear. Refocus. Because if you don't do that regularly, it will get out of focus. And you wake up someday and realize, I don't even know my children. It's great that you have a house on the water, but your kids are like, I don't even know my dad. If you don't regularly put it in your schedule to refocus, you may achieve those things, but there's going to be this emptiness inside of you because spiritually you're vacant. To kind of refocus, put it back in its proper place. I'll tell you, at this point, the rest of this is very individual. How do we do that? Are you saying that every week we have to take a day and do nothing? No, I'm not saying that. I frankly don't think that most of us could even do this weekly, at least not for a whole day. I mean, I've really wrestled with this. I thought, you know, what does God want? Does He really mandate out of creation that one day, one out of 7 days, we just really put everything on pause and do nothing? I don't know if I can. I mean, my life has a lot of stuff going on, school and church and work and kids and all kinds of stuff. But that's an excuse we make. Okay, so maybe you can't do it every 7 days, but when is it on your calendar to turn off the cell phone for a day? When is it on your calendar to say to your spouse or your partner, you know what, we're not going to watch TV today, we're not going to surf the web today, we're not even going to go shopping today, we're going to spend a day just centering our lives, God in us. We might go for a walk today. We might make a list of the things that are important to us independently and look at them, talk about them, see what we have in common. Maybe things I didn't think of that you thought. Maybe we'll pray together today. Maybe we'll actually open up a Bible and read something and share a concern I have, a fear that's inside me. When do we do stuff like that? Most people don't. We just go, 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 go. And even then when we do have downtime, oh my gosh, it's quiet. Turn on a radio, put on our iPod, you know, get our MP3 player out. Go, there's cable in this room and this TV's on a different channel and this phone ringing. God is saying, I understand something about you that maybe you don't. That we are made to need time to recenter. It's like sleep. We all know that if you miss too much sleep, your body's just going to shut down. It's so weird to me that sleep alone, if you are deprived of it, can literally kill you. I mean, the body will just be like shutting down, going, God, because of sleep. But I don't think what is true for the body is untrue for our soul and our spirit and our mind and our emotions. They need refreshing too. Have you ever noticed, let me show you this. We know physically what happens when we're out of sleep, but have you also noticed when you're not getting good sleep, what happens to the emotions? How you're just much more irritable? Or you just cry at anything. I remember my mom, when she would just get so, so stressed and not get sleep, and you see her in the morning, she had to get up early and she was up late. And then we could do something like drop some oatmeal on the kitchen floor, and all of a sudden, I'd just cry. It scared us all. We're like, I'd rather have you mad and hit us with the brush, but why are you crying? Just melt down. Because our emotions and our spirit or soul, they need those times of refreshing too. And it's not always a good nap. Sometimes it's just some solitude. Sometimes it's just getting away and walking on the beach and just meditating. Not writing a list of things to do, not trying to, you know, no. A time where it says, honor the Sabbath, keep it holy. Let's look at that idea and then we'll close. The idea of holy didn't mean, I know it's just some of us, it means like boring or serious. You know, holy people are always kind of boring people or weird people. You know, they have weird robes and sit in weird rooms and do weird things or something. No. The idea in the Old Testament of holy was, it literally meant something that's so special that it's set apart. That's what the holy meant. When it described temple furniture, they would say it was holy unto the Lord. It meant you didn't take the altar and just bring it out and let people chop bread on it. It was back inside the Holy of Holies, that very sacred, special place. And God is saying, I want you to keep this day holy. I want a day that is sacred. I want a day that's not like all the other days. I want a day that's in its proper place. I want a day where I'm kind of focused on, where transcendent values and important things in your life are put back in focus instead of all the craziness. Before we pray, I want to just give you some ideas. These are ideas. They are not prescription for what you should or shouldn't do. But they are things that many writers throughout centuries now have talked about taking Sabbaths. One, they say this, when you decide to celebrate a Sabbath, decide a couple things that you can stop doing that will help put things in focus for a day. So if you're going to have a day where you just want to refresh, you've got to answer for you, what are some things I just want to cease from today? Things that are kind of in my normal everyday grind that I just want to stop for today. I don't know what it is for you. It might be just to turn your cell phone off. But my kid, well, then leave your cell phone off. Maybe it's not that for you. Maybe it's your email. Some of us can't even imagine going a day and not checking that email. Maybe on that Sabbath, that's what you need to stop from. To get out of that material world for a moment and refocus on a spiritual plane. What else could it be? Maybe it's music. Maybe it's entertainment. Maybe it is the TV. Maybe it is your iPod. For this day, whether it's once a month or once every 2 weeks, I'm just not going to do it today. I want my mind to be clear. I want to be receptive today. So think of something on your Sabbath that you can give up. Maybe it is going and traveling or shopping. Maybe you're going to stay home and just kind of make yourself be alone. Then think of something that can enhance your spirituality on that day. That's why, frankly, a lot of us come to church. Because on our day where we try to do that, that does help focus us. But besides church, what are things you could do? I don't know. Some people have said napping. And I say, amen. Some people say taking a walk. Some people celebrating a special meal and having friends over, that this is their day that we're going to just sit down as friends and not be in a rush and talk during the afternoon. Some meditating. Some traditions dance. Some sing together. Some gather around and we'll have a meal and then pray together. Some study. Get a book about the Bible and have your little book club on that day. To give. There's so many ways you could do it. But I challenge you, because I hear this all the time. People, when they find out I'm a pastor, Well, I don't go to church, but I'm a spiritual person. I love when they say that. Because I always say something like this, oh, that is awesome. I totally agree with you. You don't have to go to church to be spiritual. When was the last time you celebrated your spirituality and how? And I have never yet had an answer to that question. They just look at me. I don't even understand what I'm saying. But I'm serious. I don't care if you don't go to church. But if you are a spiritual person, how have you engaged your spirituality? How have you celebrated it? How have you lived it out? I have no idea. Well, then you're probably not real spiritual. It might be walking. It might be meditating. It might be dancing. It might be a yoga class. It might be therapy. It might be just getting alone or getting with friends and having. That might be how you're focusing back on those values in life that are important to you. But God said, don't forget to do it. Because if you don't do it, you're going to suddenly find one day that life is just all out of focus. Whether it's once a week, once a month, once every couple months. I just dare you to try it. Take a day and say, it's going to be my Sabbath. I'm just going to kind of focus on not material things, not shopping, not list of things to do, not around the house, not getting all the people called that I got to call. No. I'm going to try to just focus on that God. And watch what God will begin to do in your life. The peace that you've been looking for, how it just kind of will begin to grow. The joy, I believe, that God will give you. the answers to things you've been troubled about that might just come. I will promise you, some of you will realize at the end of a Sabbath day, things you've been kind of wrestling with, should I not? It's just going to all of a sudden seem kind of clear. I know what I'm doing. It was just because you refocused, you put everything else on pause, and you could finally hear the small voice of the Holy Spirit saying, don't do it. Or, go ahead. We need that in our lives. Let's bow our heads. God, tonight I admit that I don't know if anyone else is listening, but I sure needed to hear this. Life is so busy and so easily gets out of focus. Tonight, remind us to take Shabbats, to take time that is just set apart to refocus the priorities in our life, the priorities of God, the things that you want for us that are good and wholesome in our lives, the things that are truly important, not the careers, not the entertainments, not the things. God, as we plan in our lives a Sabbath with our kids or ourselves or our partner, boyfriends, girlfriends, may we discover a new richness in our spiritual lives. Ignite something in us that it won't be a drudgery, but it will be truly something that we sense is for our good. We thank you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.